Wonder Soul. Good. All right, cool. All right. Welcome everyone to another episode of the podcast. I know it's been a minute. We've been trying to do this, and by we I mean me and
Bailey
is joining me on this episode of the podcast. But yeah, we've been trying to sit down and record for a long time, but life has been pretty busy. We just got into summer. So hopefully have some more free time, and we're going to try to get something going on a more regular basis. And yeah, we just were wanted to sit down and just kind of talk and, I don't know, shoot the shit, really. Talk about some of the books we've been reading, some of the games we've been playing, whatever else that comes to mind. Those are just some of the things that I would like to talk about. I don't know. Bailey might have some whole other bag.
Pretty similar.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because I know we've been reading a lot of different stuff. Well, now I won't say it like that. You've been reading this one series that we've just gotten into a lot. You're like four books ahead of me.
Took so long to read the first book. Like, this is not my fault. It was good material, and it got even better as time went on. So it's not my fault that you like drug your feet and are behind.
I know. But I'm on the second book now. So we'll talk about that, because I think that's going to be fun. Hopefully something we say will let people know if they want to get into it or not. Because I know, like, the last couple episodes we recorded have been about things that we've read. And it's almost like a book club type thing. But we've been trying to find books and stuff to, like...
It's like a table talk.
Yeah.
Talking about what's going on.
Yeah. So it's been pretty cool. And then, like, I don't know. Recently, for some reason, hanging out with you has gotten me back into comics as well. So we've been going to the comic book shop once a week.
Trying to promote local small business.
Absolutely. I even got a pull list now. So we're, you know, trying to keep consistent with it. It's been a while since I've really tried to get into some comics. And I'd like to talk a little bit about some of those books and stuff like that. But yeah, pretty much just going to be a casual talk and catch up in a way that we haven't recorded in like a few months, so hopefully this summer we can be more consistent.
Yeah. Can't be consistent then.
I know, dude.
There's
life,
like,
is so busy
then.
I know there were so many times we were like, we're gonna record tonight, and then it was like, how about we just play video games and like, how about we like watch a movie, or let's just go to bed.
I mean, sometimes like, the energy's just not there.
It's not there.
You can't force it. You gotta, like,
I know.
Feel it out.
Yeah.
Be genuine, at least.
Yeah, and that's what I've been striving for with this now. I really would like to have some really just, I don't know, down-to-earth conversations. I think we're gonna find that we like to have these open form type episodes, but then we'll like to like pick certain topics and really hyper focus in. And there's a couple other people I'm trying to get on the podcast, and yeah, I usually do that, I think, like over Discord and stuff like that. But this is like unusual for me, because even all the time doing the podcast, I think there's only been a handful of times I've actually recorded in person with someone. So this is still something I'm getting used to. So everyone listening, if you guys have any feedback, we would love to hear it. Things you'd like to hear us talk about, things you wouldn't, other things. I'm going to hopefully invest in some better equipment as far as like recording in person. I've been kind of rocking this HyperX USB mic. I used it a lot for like streaming and stuff like that. It's really good, like when it's just one person, but it's got some settings. So you guys let us know about the sound quality as well. So we're trying out. We're going to really... Bailey was like, look, we're going to record no matter what. If it's shit, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't have to release this, so who knows?
It doesn't have to be great.
Yes, so appreciate everybody tuning in and everything. But yeah, do you have any place that you would like to start? Any things you would like to bring up first before I pick something?
Probably Dresden Files.
You really? Okay,
we're going to start there. Because I have been, like, holding back wanting your opinion on certain things.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
So now you've, like...
So are we going to be in spoilers? Pretty much.
Probably.
Yeah, but yeah, it's, like, the first book, and it came out in, like, 2000 something, so...
I mean, and they get better anyway. Yeah. So, like, if this sounds good to you, then just skip the first book and, like...
Yeah, skip the first book, or we'll, like...
We'll do a recap. We'll figure it out.
I'll try to find where we start talking about stuff, and maybe... We'll give a heads up to people.
Isn't it on YouTube? Didn't you like...
Oh, I totally... Yeah, I listened to the audiobook on YouTube for a little bit, especially when I was at work. Yeah, I did that.
Exactly. So, like, it can be found if they want it.
Oh, absolutely. And the book, like, I bought
Hold on. The narrator...
Yes.
...is what sold this series.
Yes,
because you like to talk about how I'm not a reader because I listen to audiobooks.
I mean...
Which I do read in person. Let's make that clear. I also have a busy life and like to consume my books in my in-between moments.
True, true. I mean, it is... Look, I just like giving you a hard time. It's just funny when you're like, yo, I read this. And I was like... Yeah, but did you technically read it? It was read to you.
It was read to me. That counts the same.
It still counts.
I consumed this media.
You're absolutely right.
But I read this is much shorter than I listened to someone read this to me.
Yeah, which is really what it is. But it is like...
it's the narrator sold it.
Well, it's so convenient, too, like, just to stay on the audiobook part of it. Because that's really what's been helping me get back into reading... more consistently is like you have Audible, I have Audible, we have separate accounts, but you have like a massive library I think on there.
Oh yeah, like I have
tons of books.
I mean, it's like
almost... How long have you been using Audible? This is not a sponsor, by the
way. No, I've been using it since 2018.
Wow, so like
2018,
almost. Yeah, about 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. I have like over 200 books.
Wow, 200 books.
Not all of those.
Have you listened to all of them?
Some of those were free. With like subscription and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've listened to all of them.
Listen to all of them.
Now I've returned a fair few of them.
What are your main genres that you can find?
Oh, horror is like number one.
Horror.
Then it's usually like sci-fi or fantasy. Because I love, what are they called, lit RPGs?
Yes, you read one recently.
Yeah, I went on a bender with those. But so they, like, kind of bleed together.
Yeah.
Like, I look back on them and I'm like, which one was that? Was that this series or was it that character or what was...
Yeah.
And they kind of all end up just being, like...
The same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, unfortunately. But I love a good series, and I read like through a bunch of horror series.
What's like one of your favorite horror series? Not by like a certain Arthur. Arthur? Oh my god! Sorry, we were watching Arthur today.
And we have been watching
Arthur's
a lot
on my
Arthur.
Brain, and it's the Arthur podcast, which is it's like a legit thing, by the way. It was weird. I thought like they messed up.
Well, it's because they like wrapped up Arthur, but everyone still wants Arthur. But they were like, we're not going to write it anymore. We're just going to play it on
loop. We're just going to play repeats. I mean, they age well. Works. They age well. Anyways, my bad.
So, series?
Yeah. You don't have to name one.
I'm trying to think. There's been like a few.
Would you say Dresden Files is horror in a way?
I think so. Absolutely. Because there's like creatures.
Demons
and like...
Werewolves, vampires.
Yes, there's like
bunch of supernatural shit.
Yeah, there's like the skull that like talks to people and like goes and does shit on his own time. Like, yeah, it would definitely be horror. He's a wizard.
It's like a horror mystery fantasy.
Yeah, well, it's like a noir to me.
Noir as well.
It's
as
like
well.
A horror noir. Fantasy
mystery? It's definitely mystery, dude. Like
noir always means mystery on something.
Oh, I thought it just had that
it's
certain
like
aesthetic.
Dark, that broody, like,
black and white detective. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, back in the day.
It's very interesting, and the main character is very likable because he's just like a normal ass dude.
Yeah, he is. He's really
and
funny.
Like shit does not. Go well for him.
No, he's not. He has a lot of bad luck.
Yeah, like the electricity thing.
Yeah,
like Brett can't use electricity, but he lives in this apartment building with an elevator, so he just like doesn't ever have that option.
Never uses it.
No.
Oh well, this like okay. So who wrote this? And it's a series of books about this wizard in Chicago, by the way.
Yeah.
He's just, and it's modern times. He's like a private detective almost.
He's a wizard for hire, is like how he.
Yeah.
But he, in his wizarding, is usually solving problems or finding things or like.
Getting wrapped up
some variant. That. I do enjoy his little pamphlets that he talks about that he writes. It's like. It's always got a funny name. I'll have to look it up. But he writes like these faux factoid pamphlets.
Does he?
And like hands them out in his office. They're on like this table. And I always think that's the funniest thing. He's like, because people have to be educated on what's real about wizards, you know?
Yeah, it's a really cool approach on like that whole fantasy. Like, you know, there's vampires, werewolves. All the magic stuff, but it's like they make it fit in a modern day.
Well, and a lot of people don't encounter those things in their lives, so they don't know that it's real.
So it's still kind of like not real? Are you sure?
Well, so it's real in the sense that there are people that are like publicly like werewolves and vampires and things like that, but it's almost in a fake way. Like... The Werewolf Society pretends to be a D&D group, which, I mean, they're kind of nerds.
So that's
like
wild.
That fits. And, like, the Vampire Society, one of the, like, council members is a reporter, and he goes and reports the opposite of the truth. So he essentially takes the reality of the situation, and then he's like, oh, but let me point out all the ways this couldn't be real, and clearly vampires aren't a thing. Because this medical thing would explain this, and this scientific thing would explain that. So there, it's a lot of, like, look the other way. So in one of the books, he describes it as, like, normal people don't really want to see these things.
Okay.
Like, so they kind of ignore it.
They know it's out there, but they're like, but they're I don't want to mess with it.
Like, werewolves can't be real. Like, I really don't have to worry about that in my daily life.
Is that bartender aware of Harry and what he does?
Yes. Like, so the bartender
is Mac, right?
Yeah, McAnally's.
Okay.
So is his bar. But it's a safe space. Like, it's a where magical people can come. Like, think like Hogsmeade.
Okay.
Like the Three Broomsticks. Like, it's a place where people who are magical can go and, like, have a drink.
Okay.
And no one's going to attack them. It's okay. Got, like, weird geometry and, like, wards and all kinds of crazy stuff. So you can't really, like, fight in there. So it's kind of like a safe zone.
Is it
kind of
like that hotel in John Wick?
Yes.
How they're like, yo, we don't do it here.
We don't do that. Yeah, exactly.
Take it outside.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So it's almost exactly like that. But McAnally, Mac, wants to, like, help people. Like, he's not out to, like, screw anyone over. But he's, like, very introverted and reserved.
Yeah.
And taking everything in around him.
Well, and, you know, you were mentioning how, like, nobody really knows if it's real or not. That's how the book starts, like, mm-hmm. Stormfront, the first book in the series, and there's a handful of these books. It's a big series.
It's like 15 or 16 now.
And I think it's still ongoing. I think James Butcher or Jim Butcher.
Jim Butcher and James Marsden, right?
Yep. See, I got them mixed up.
Yeah. Who is the guy from Buffy? Spike.
Yeah, the narrator. Buffy, the narrator.
Because that fucked up my brain in a real way for a minute there. Because you're like, yeah, did you realize it's the guy from Buffy? I'm like, no, it's not.
But you know what first came to my mind, though? It was that he was the live-action Piccolo in that Dragon Ball Evolution movie.
Okay, so, like, I've not even seen that.
You've never seen Dragon Ball Evolution?
I mean, I've seen, like, clips and, like,
GIFs. Oh, we need to have, like, a bad movie night and watch that.
Oh, yeah, that one goes on there for sure.
I have it on Blu-ray.
That's even better.
Yeah, it's terrible. I have to show it to the world.
We can watch that and David Lynch's Dune.
Okay, cool. I have it on VHS.
Yes, exactly. Okay,
there we go. Perfect.
Because those are just terrible movies that didn't need to be.
Did not need to be. Did not need to happen, honestly.
I love David Lynch, like, but...
You do. You do, like Twin Peaks.
It did not need to happen. But yeah, it's very
interesting. Why is he so good, though, at narrating? Because I have my own opinion.
So I think it's like his cadence. It's the speed in which he delivers. I almost feel like this is one of those things, if you sped up the audiobook, you'd be doing yourself a disservice.
Absolutely.
Because you're missing the acting in it. In the same way that, like, who is it? James Fry or something like that does Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I can look that up.
Stephen Fry. There we go. Stephen Fry does Sherlock Holmes and things like that. Like, you'd be doing a disservice to not listen to the voice acting of it. But, yeah.
Yeah, he's acting. Like, and I know I was talking to you about this, I think it was even today, is that he does well with the other characters as well. Like, he is the main character. He is Harry, right? But he also does really well with, like, doing other voices. And I think it is, like, you say cadence. I think it's just, like, how he breathes into the mic. He'll even, like, it's just natural. You're acting, it's like you're hearing him.
And I hate mouth noise, but it almost makes it better to hear his, like, pauses or his swallow or his exhale. Yeah. So, yeah, I do agree with that.
Where sometimes narration is almost too clean. It almost seems like...
Well, and to go back to what you said, you know, he does the other people well.
He does.
Because I forever go back to the narrator of the Harry Potter series and his, like, high-pitched female voices. Where they're, like, super high-pitched and, like, nasally and, like, very clearly, like, a... caricature of a woman's voice. He does. James Marsden does a good job of, like, making it sound feminine without like going into a feminine caricature.
Yeah, it takes you out of the book sometimes.
Definitely takes you out of the book.
Narration is key, dude. Like, especially when you're, well, obviously when you're listening to audiobooks. Obviously, I mean, doesn't matter when you're picking up a book. I mean, the narration is your own voice in your head, but. There has been a lot of books that I've listened to and I've been like, man, like, I like what I'm hearing, but I almost don't like how I'm hearing it. So it's kind of distracting me from really getting into it. But this was so immersive. Like, even the writing style, it kind of makes it out like it's his recounting of the events and he's almost like recording it on a tape or something and you're just listening back to him talk about this crazy shit he just went through.
So that's kind of how the way I view it too. Yeah. Like, it's written to be his, like, recording.
Journal?
Yes, like exactly. Yeah, like his notes. His log.
Yeah.
Like, on this day, this thing happened, and then this thing happened, and then this thing happened. Yeah. You're like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, and then you realize the book's only, like, 4 or 5 days long.
And it's only from his perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting. And the more characters, because obviously I'm farther in the series, like, the more characters that repeat and you get invested in them, the more that's really interesting. Because you only see Harry's side of it, but these characters are, like, clearly living other lives.
Oh,
like, there's a whole other thing happening that you have no idea about because he doesn't have any idea.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the fun with the mystery because most of these, like I mentioned, are mysteries. At least they seem to be, like, they I don't know how they get later. Yeah.
They're all
to some extent, right?
Mystery.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they deal with a lot of different creatures. Like, the first book, spoiler alert, is, there are vampires in it, but, like, I guess that they're not, like, the main focus, but...
The main baddie is a wizard.
Is another wizard.
Right.
Which is actually appropriate when you stop to think about it.
So, the main baddie in this one's a wizard, in the next one it's a werewolf.
That's cool.
And then a vampire, and then the fairy.
Oh, interesting.
Which is cool, because I love the fae, because they're always, like, in literature in general.
Yeah.
Because they're always, like... terrible, demonic, bad
troublemakers.
Creatures. Well, not even troublemakers. Like, the fae are, like, usually there to, like, enslave you or take your life.
Whoa.
Or, like,
do some
crazy ass dark magic. Like, okay. They are always some kind of dark magic.
They're not like Tinkerbell.
They're always, like, stunning. So, like, Harry's like, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Like, she is physiologically perfect. And then he flips on his sight and he's like, Oh,
okay. Shit.
That's what you look like.
Oh, explain
that. And then
he's
like, immediately, like, no.
Explain that to people.
So he has, like, a third eye, like an extra sense is basically what it's like. But it opens him up to other things that also have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
And some things you just don't want to see.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, like, leave it on because he, A, doesn't want his godmother to find him, which is funny because he has a fairy godmother, but she's a bad thing.
Oh.
She's a really
bad thing. This is news to me.
Yeah, and you find out about her in the second book.
Okay.
But I'm not here to tell you about this whole series. It's just really cool how it blends mystery, true crime, fantasy, and horror, and how it blends them kind of seamlessly. And then it's also got that, like, because he's involved with the police, but he also works with reporters. Like, it's just all the aspects of, like, these people exist, and all these people in power know they exist, but the communities and the rest of the world's like, nah.
Is it kind of like a supernatural Law and Order
kind yes. of? Yes. Sort like of? Law and Order.
Like, I was waiting, it's like, dun dun.
Yeah.
You know, and he just is like out doing his thing. And they're usually pretty contained stories. Like,
and they're not long. They're not like, super long. If you're listening to them, they're like 8 to 9 hours, I think. Most of them are. I think the longest is like 13.
First one was 8. Second one I know now is 10. So it's a little bit longer than the first one. But
yeah, and then it dips back down for a second. Then it goes back up.
Yeah, Jim Butcher does a really good job. Like, you know, the premise itself is really cool and interesting. But like we've been telling you, it's the writing style and the delivery. If you want to listen to the audiobook, I highly suggest that's the way to go.
The pacing is great. And as a person that like burns through books, a good pacing really speeds.
It's entertaining. It's definitely immersive too.
It leaves you wanting more of it, which obviously I continued.
You're blazing through it, dude.
Yeah, it's a great book to listen to.
It is good. I you know, I'll either listen to a podcast or audiobook or even a YouTube video. Like, I have like 5 different things that I fall back on where I see that you just, you know, Alexa, Audible, and then like you're picking it up. Oh, I know. She probably is. She heard you. Damn it. But yeah, if you have Audible, check it out. If you don't, I know that the YouTube has the first book. So just look up.
And then if you have Libby.
Libby.
The, like, free library card
That's
thing.
How I actually started. This is how we got into it.
Yeah, we started in Libby because you were listening to it. And I was like, I like this. Yeah, this is good. This hits. Like, let's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how this started. But I don't have a library card.
You have to get a library card.
I have no library card.
Yes, this summer, if you do not have a library card or know...
Go to your local library and then you can get free audiobooks.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
It's
so,
just that easy.
You don't even have to have Audible.
Yeah.
And like I bought this book. I'm sure you could get on. What's that app you
Thrift
like?
Thrift Books.
Thrift Books.
I love Thrift Books.
I'm sure these started in what, 2000 or something?
Yeah, and if you're looking for like cheap, like, oh god, what's the Monster Hunter International books I love?
Yeah.
That are also kind of like trashy but wonderful novels. You can get stuff like that for like $1.50 on the website, and it's great. It's like pre-loved, good go. Good to be used.
Before we wrap that topic up here, it's just like at the beginning of the book, they have praise for the novels of the Dresden File. And I like this. This really captures all of it. It's, quote, one of the most enjoyable marriages of the fantasy and mystery genres on the shelves, said Cinescape.
Yeah, I could see that.
So if you like fantasy and mysteries.
But it definitely has some horror elements that are... hit, and I like some pretty gruesome horror.
There is some good action. Action's pretty good in these books. At least the first one.
Oh, wait till you get to the...
I'm sure.
There's the one about the Holy Knight. The Fist of God.
The Fist of God.
The Fist of God. Because he's got some excellent action in him.
I cannot wait. Yeah, so Dresden Files. I mean, the one thing we talked about this recently about these books, they won't tell you like 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5.
No, you have to look up like a book list or go on Audibles because you can click the series.
Yep.
And it gives it to you in order.
And
it,
even Amazon, if you just want to get the mass paper back, it's only like $10. And it'll tell you book one. But it won't tell you on the actual book. Like, I'm holding the book right now. It just says Stormfront. And it's like a novel of the Dresden Files, but it doesn't tell you, like, the first one. So it's like, you know, just pay attention. Because you can read them. I'm sure you could read them out of order.
I'm sure you could. I mean, he does a little recap. And then if you miss something, he explains things pretty thoroughly. But, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we were able to get into it. It's always fun to find a, you know, something new to get into, like a book or, you know, a game or whatever. And we've been gaming a lot.
We have gone hard in Divinity 1.
Yeah, we've been trying to beat Divinity Original Sin 2, which
and,
is...
And if we would stop starting over...
Which we've done 3 or 4 times.
I think it's 4 now. Yeah. I think our current playthroughs are 4.
We started on like Steam on the PC, and then when we started seeing each other a lot more, we were able to start our... Well, actually, it's because I got that Xbox, and then... Yeah, and then we did a couch co-op. That's what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. And I like the couch co-op better.
But, you know, it's one of those games where... Well, okay, so Divinity Original Sin 2 and Original Sin, the first one, which is the one that we've been going hard in recently. Yeah. They're like tactical strategy RPGs. So, really fun, man. If you love, like...
Good and I love the voice acting.
Yeah. Like, well, the second one's better.
Oh, yeah. Well,
tons better.
The second one's better in a lot of ways. Like, it is. Mechanically.
It is better.
You know, it's just better in a lot of ways.
It's harder. The first one's a lot easier, it seems like.
I will say it is a lot harder.
But we've had a lot of battles, which are always fun little chess matches almost. And definitely encourage you to check out some gameplay. But
get your bloodlust out.
Yes. Well, we have like a list of games that are kind of in the same genre, like fantasy. Like, I know I want to get into Diablo.
Yes, and I've played most of the Diablo.
So there's Diablo 3 that we have. And then 4 comes out the 6th of June. Which is like 2 weeks away from this recording, I think.
Yeah, it's not far off.
It's not that far. No. It's like a Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Or I don't know. Anyways.
I don't know. Every day is Tuesday.
Every day is Tuesday, right? Oh, yeah. You're on summer break.
I don't know. Consistent days of
Everything's a blur. Yes. What is today? Yeah.
Time to go outside. That's all I know.
But yeah, Divinity 1's been amazing, man. It's been so fun to play something couch co-op, split screen.
I miss that experience. Me too. Like, I really liked couch co-op.
It's different.
It's not common now because everyone wants it to be pretty.
I know.
And in order for it to be pretty, you have to be playing on your own devices.
Ah, it's not that fun.
But I like a good couch co-op. It makes me feel like it brings that, like, Mario Party, Mario Kart, like... Yeah. Interactivity back.
Which is stuff we play too if we're just feeling like it.
Back in the day, like LAN parties when people would bring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Xbox Halo LAN parties and stuff. Yeah.
It brings that vibe back.
That's like the only time I got into LAN parties and I didn't like. I just knew somebody who had that set up, and they would do that like at like events and stuff, where they would have multiple consoles and TVs to have people just, you know. For me, I think of Halo, but I know people do that with PCs and stuff, and they probably did it with other games. And
I don't know.
This is before the internet. The
nerds
blew up.
I hung out with like weren't those. We were D&D nerds.
Just D&D tabletop.
I mean, no, we played like other stuff, and then we like D&D was main focus. Then we went on this board game bender, and the board games were fantastic. I played tons of great ones, and I've sat through How to Play Dead of Winter too many times and we'll never play the game again.
Dang. Never?
It's like an hour and a half just to teach the game to someone.
Wow.
That's with them pre-watching a video.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I don't even lecture children for an hour and a half. That's, like, that's too long.
Too much.
You have lost my attention. I'm ready to take a nap. That's I need much. A coffee. Like, it's too much.
Nope.
But... I've played some fantastic games. But we were like D&D nerds, not like gaming nerds. The gaming nerds came when everyone was like in college or lived somewhere else.
Would you say Divinity has D&D elements?
Yeah, I think that's why. So Divinity 2 is one of my like all-time favorite games.
Yeah, I can see why.
And to me, it's the best game for the D&D experience.
Really?
Yeah. Person,
that's awesome.
Which I'm sure there are other recommendations out there, and I would love to hear them, because I'll definitely give them a go. But like, I've played Pillars of Eternity, like I've played a lot of other games that are similar to Divinity, and I just found that it is the closest to the like true D&D experience, even down to like how your rolls can sometimes make all of, like, you could just have a critical roll that hits one playthrough of a fight. And it turns the tables and you, like, win the fight. But all the other times, because you missed the shot or you used something different, it just didn't work for you. Mm-hmm. And that's very D&D to me.
I know the people that have made Divinity the developers are making the new Baldur's Gate. So I'm excited to try that out.
I have, but I haven't played any of the other. I don't think you have to have.
No. Oh, that would actually be something that I'd like to just try. Like, it wouldn't be multiplayer, but we could just like play Baldur's Gate and like kind of like, you know, pass the controller back and forth and go through that and see. You know, it's really old school though. It's kind of old school, but it's still like there's like enhanced editions. They have some quality of life things, and yeah, it would be fun to check out with you to see if like the story at least is something.
I
mean,
I would give it a go. Like, I'm all about that like interactive storytelling role playing experience. Like,
well,
I'm here for that kind of life.
And Divinity 1 and 2 have a pretty cool story. I think that's the problem that we ran into with starting over with 2. Say, you know, some of the gameplay is like really blended in to how you receive the story, and we're like, oh, I finished this conversation and they're telling me to go over here. When you're trying to kind of like catch up to where you were, you know, it's like really hard to follow those natural beats.
Yeah.
And we weren't really using a walkthrough.
I also stand by, like, somebody in your party has to have Pet Pal. Like,
we're seeing that now.
But that's like a critical like Divinity thing. Like,
what is Pet Pal?
So Pet Pal is an ability that lets you talk to animals.
That's right.
And the animals will like make you skip a bunch of steps.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I saw them kill him. It was this guy that looks like this. And you're like, oh shit, I totally know a guy in town that looks like this. Like, yeah, what? Okay, done. Or like you can get a ball for a dog, and then the dog gives you like information about a quest that you didn't realize that he was connected to. Yeah. It's just a lot of like streamlining and like bonus storytelling to have the Pet Pal thing. But I have noticed that it does mess us up a few times.
I know team comp is really important. As much as like your team individual comp build is
huge.
But team comp, like, and we got something in Divinity 1 that's pretty nice. You mentioned the other day, it's almost like your typical
traditional party of four.
We have a ranger. I'm like the ranger.
Yeah, and then we have a wizard, which is me.
And that's you.
Then we have a rogue.
A rogue, yeah.
And then we have essentially like a battle mage or a knight.
Yeah.
Like it's like a bruiser, a tank. I guess she would be more of a tank.
Yeah, she does do that, like crushing fists.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think she would count as a tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. She gets in the thick of it. She has like a two-handed axe or a sword and just goes in.
Yeah. So in that regard, we have like the perfect team comp. Because realistically, you and I heal.
Yep.
So we don't need a healer.
Yeah, yeah. And usually a healer is kind of like...
And if you would invest in the damn perk where food fills you up better, would be like one dinner and done. Like,
that's true. Yes. Making food and healing and the whole strategy.
Food is critical.
Well, it's like turn-based, and we're each controlling another character. I control the rogue. You control... Helga.
The tank.
No, I'm just kidding. That's not Helga. Helga. It's not
Helga. And then what do I keep calling him? Midoriya?
Yeah, I call him Wolfgraf. It's like Wolfgraf, and I call him Wolfgraf or something. I don't know. We didn't get to name them.
No, but they are, yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun. We've been really getting into that pretty hard. And when we're not doing that, you've been playing a lot of Sims, and I've been playing a lot of Zelda.
I love Sims. I could build in Sims for days.
Gosh.
And be content with myself.
The investment.
But I love architecture and like landscaping and things like that. So,
how many hours do you have in Sims?
We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah,
here.
Dude, I want you to drop it over.
I'm not.
Can
even...
I get, give me like a,
no,
like
my
a roundabout?
Shut down, so I have no idea.
Dude, we looked it up recently. What is the roundabout? You don't have to give like.
It was
is
like it over 2,000 hours?
Golly. That's so much.
It's
2,000
a lot.
Hours. Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
A lot.
Thank you for opening up.
I mean, how many people can say they commit that kind of consistency? I mean, because that's like me not playing other things. I am very picky about what I play, and then I go back to the same thing a lot. Like,
that's really good,
I play a lot.
That's good, though. Like, well, you have investments with Sims. Like, there are things that I've seen that you've done and worked on, like, years prior. And,
oh, yeah. Because, you know, like, I have legacies. Yeah. Like, multiple generations of a family tree. Because there was a challenge at one time to see if you could have 10 generations of one sin.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And I did it. And it, you got, like, an achievement. It was like, yeah.
What?
Yeah. But, it, yeah.
Wow. How long have you been playing Sims, though? Like, did you play the other ones?
So I've played all of them.
Like, but did you play
the first one?
Did you play like the Sims in the City, like the spin-offs?
I gave all of them a go.
Okay.
Like, because there's like Sims Roller Coaster Tycoon or something. There's some weird ones in there. Sims City, I wasn't super big on. There's like another version of that game that's much, much better. I cannot think of it right now, but I have it in my Steam library. I didn't really like that. There was like Sims Zoo or some weird thing.
Sims Zoo?
Yeah, something like that. Wasn't super into that one either. Yeah. But like the Sims franchise, I've been a part of for a long time.
What about The Sims Busting Out?
I did play that. I maxed that out. I 100% of that game.
Came out in like 2003.
Yeah, 100% of that game. I'm not.
Oh, it was like GameCube. Like
Yep.
And PS2.
I had it on PS2, and I would swap it with my friend who had it on GameCube.
What is your favorite older Sims game? Before, what is this, Sims 4 or 3?
4.
4? The one that's current?
Is it 3? I don't know. I think it's Sims 4, but I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it's 4.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Sims 4. Okay. Came out in 2014?
Yeah, it did. But they did like a revamp.
It's almost been 10 years.
Yeah, and they did like a revamp in 2017 or something like that. So it's like copyrighted for 2017 now.
And Sims 2 was in 2004? Wow. So are they coming up with a Sims 5, or are they just going to keep this going?
So, I don't know, because realistically there's, for the first time ever, like, competition for certain aspects of Sims. Like, there's a game, Paralives.
Okay.
That's supposed to be, like, the better version of The Sims or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely envious that you have that kind of investment in those games.
Dude, I just love building the houses. It's like...
I was about to ask you,
sandbox,
like, what is up with that? Like, you like Stardew and Sims, like the simulation games and the management games. Like, what is that for you? Like, that you find a joy?
Type A introverted personality. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But I've always liked that because I liked like Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Was it Dragon Quest where you're like making the village and all that stuff?
Is it?
No.
I don't know.
Cloud something. I don't know. No. I have it. Dark Cloud.
That's Dark Cloud. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Okay. That does look like Dragon Quest. I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I've always liked those kind of games. Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
Like, Animal Crossing on the GameCube. Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah. Back before this one on the Switch and everything.
Yeah, I've always liked that. I don't know. They're cozy. Like, I'm definitely a cozy gamer kind of gamer.
But do they feel grindy? Like, isn't there a lot of grinding?
Oh, but see, I like grind in MMOs.
Oh,
like,
no.
I am a, like...
That's where I get off the interstate with you, dude.
Repetition.
I get off at like, this exit.
Repetition is my thing, man. It, like, calms my brain down. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can just shut my brain off and keep doing this task.
Nope. It's like that scene from Fast and the Furious when he's getting off on that exit. Yep. That's me right now. I'm just like, no. I don't know why. Like, I'm sure if I had like a good, I think it's just the gameplay in general. It just always seems like just tap button, do thing. Like, I never got into World of Warcraft. I never got into any MMOs.
See, I played Guild Wars 2 a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I went deep.
You went hard.
I went so hard into Guild Wars 2. It was, like, super my thing until our friends stopped playing. Then I was like,
that's it, right?
By myself. Like,
I think it's about, like, who you play with. And that's what makes certain games like Divinity fun. Like, I could see, like, playing that by yourself.
I think Divinity would suck by myself. Like, I almost like
it'd be
the
hard to manage
off
everything.
And the, like... Yeah. Doing fights with other people. Like, if I had to control the people, I think I might get frustrated.
It'd be a little too much.
I don't know that it'd be too much, because it's like XCOM.
Oh, that's right.
And people love XCOM. I mean...
That is a game that's on my Xbox that I want to play, is XCOM 2. And then also, like, Midnight Sun is like that. So, like, you know, so if you don't know what Divinity is, just a reference, XCOM 2 and Midnight Suns is, like, pretty... Yeah, we got this screensaver on in the background. It's got, like, beautiful shots of planet Earth. And it just showed a bunch of cute animals. And Bailey's like, oh, my God.
So cute.
Some big eyes.
Oh, that's not cute. No, that's like an eagle. It's a beard of prey.
Beard of prey. Yeah. I've been loving Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
It's so cozy and so calming, great, man. And beautiful.
I'm taking my time with it, man.
It is the most the Switch will ever be able to do, though.
Oh, it's pushed it.
Have seen the maximum for the Switch. Like, this is
It's a swan song, dude. Switch. It's like, yeah, that's all I got left in the tank. I don't even know if we know... They haven't announced what's coming out, like... Well,
and they keep saying that, like, Hogwarts Legacy is going to come to the Switch. And I'm like, how?
It got delayed.
Like, well, duh. Yeah. Like, because the Switch's technology cannot.
I think they're going to try to cloud base it.
My PC handles it perfectly. From what I understand, the consoles are doing great with it. But, like...
I think they can do it. Like,
I don't think the Switch can. Like, the Switch is not going to, like...
Look, dude, what they're going to do is they're just going to...
Visually, it will look like Harry Potter Lego then.
It would not look like Harry Potter Lego.
It would definitely look like Harry Potter Lego. There's no way the Switch can do that. Visually and performance.
It will not look like Harry Potter Lego, Bailey. It won't look as good as PC and Xbox, but it will be good.
It's gonna be Harry Potter Lego. It's fine. It happens.
Like, I've seen some crazy shit done with. I mean, even Tears of the Kingdom is something that I'm like, wow, shit. How did they do this? Like, I don't know. It's a beautiful looking game. The art style. And I think that's what they're going to do with Hogwarts.
And I like the building. Like, the way that they're doing the building and the crafting. And, like, you could just do zany shit with it. Like...
I'm that minority, maybe, that would have been... Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's a group of people that share this opinion. If they would have just done a Breath of the Wild 2 that was like, you're pretty much doing everything again, I would have been like...
Isn't that what this is, though? Without calling it that, they were just more creative.
People kept saying that this shit was DLC. This is not DLC.
So it does not... I do not think it's DLC. Not DLC. I can see how people might make that argument.
Oh, really?
But I personally do not see that argument.
I get it. Like, but Hyrule looks completely different. It's basically taken all of the feedback... of Breath of the Wild and done it better.
But they like Overwatch 2.
But people think of Breath of the Wild as like the best video game of all time. Like, it's up in that conversation for like...
Oh, and I think this and that will be like synonymous together.
I think so too, man.
I think they're gonna like be together.
There'll be this genre of Zelda games that
people
look back
on. Like the Breath of the Wild Zeldas.
Yeah.
And that's how it'll be set. Like...
Yeah.
The Switch Zeldas, like, however they're going to refer to it. But I think these two will always be compared, like, as one. I think it'll just be referred to as one. So I could see how the DLC argument was made, but it's the same argument that Overwatch 2 made about, like, we're a different game.
But we're the same game. Tears of Kingdom is so different, though. Like, it's something that you have to play... Like, with that building and stuff, it, like, changed the game.
And I'm sure. And going through the ceilings. Like, there's some really cool stuff. The rocks falling that you can, like,
rewind. Time. Yeah.
There's some really cool stuff in it.
It's a lot to do, man. It's a little overwhelming.
And there's a lot to be said about the way they laid out the map. Like, that takes some serious engineering.
You have three layers to this. You have, like, Hyrule, and it's broken up. It's still the same, but it's... so different because of like something that happens at the beginning of the game. But like, there's a whole underground, the cave systems, that there's dungeons, and then there's also the sky island. So you have three versions of like this game that you can approach in so many different ways because of like the building and construction stuff, which is pretty cool, man. I don't know, like, I'm taking my time with it. I've barely touched on any of the story stuff because it will just come in time. I remember with Breath of the Wild, I went really hard, and I think it was one of the first games I got for my Switch. And loved it, man. But then I did not beat it because I was kind of like, maybe that's my problem with ending shit, is that when I really enjoy something, I'm like, I don't want this to end.
Oh, but you give me so much shit about not finishing Die.
Dude, you still haven't, though.
Like, I'm like halfway through. There's like
the last half, book.
It's like half. There's half left.
Just wrap it up.
But I don't want to.
I know.
Yeah. It was so well done.
But once it's over.
It's over.
I know. It's bittersweet, dude. I only have... Do you have any other things you want to talk about?
No, that's me. Before?
Okay.
That's it for me.
I just want to quickly talk about going to the comic book shop, dude. It's been really great. I would like to talk about certain comics in the future. If anybody else reads comics or is thinking about that,
And we read very different things, you and I.
Yeah, you're more into the indie scene.
I love the indie scene. Yeah, I'm like not even, big on Marvel or DC.
You're not. And I'm like... I'm really trying to find something in Marvel and DC, like, and really narrow it down, and then explore other books that are different. Just appreciate comics as like a, you know,
physical medium.
Exactly. So, but the like DC is doing the Dawn of DC, which is really cool. It's like a year long project that they're revamping.
And I have enjoyed DC Pride.
They've been pretty good. Oh yeah, DC Pride, and that new one is coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
So DC's doing
seem to like that.
Yeah, DC's doing a lot of cool shit. I think like they're really trying to structure things and get it so you can approach it from a, hey, I've been reading these for a long time, or I just want to hop in and get into it. So, and then Marvel's doing their thing. They're doing like a Venom thing all summer. I'll get into that stuff in another episode or something, but yeah, like I'm definitely enjoying that, you know. The last thing like that was comic-like is like manga that I got into, but I haven't really been reading a lot of manga or watching a lot of anime, dude.
Well, a lot of the stuff we like is in like, not hiatus. What do you call it?
When is Attack on Titan coming back?
I don't know.
What the hell was that about?
I don't.
What was that? Like they released this banger, like, and then they're like,
it's gonna end, but it hasn't ended. Then it's gonna end, but it's yeah. Like, it's like part C of a 2-part ending, and I'm like, what the fuck is even
super random?
What
but
even is this? Just call it. We decided to give you a little bit more.
We're just squeezing out all the little bits of money that we can get out of you. No, that's good. But yeah, I haven't really been getting into too much. Maybe this summer we'll find some shows. We just wrapped up watching Titans, which was actually pretty good. We had a good time with it. I had the feeling like, oh man, if they would have let this go a little bit longer, I think they were kind of catching their groove. The casting in that show is amazing, in my opinion.
But then they like gave it a weird ending. It was like a, oh, everyone gets this happy ending.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which are like the grungy squad for DC.
They are very dark. But that's it. Like, Doom Patrol and that, they're all wrapping up. I can't wait for The Flash to come out this month. Like, June's going to be awesome. So, expect a lot of episodes about some cool shit in June. This is just kind of a wrap-up part, because I only want to make these, like, an hour or so or less, depending on the conversation. And we just really wanted to get on here, talk about some stuff.
Make it more routine.
Yeah, exactly. So,
do more on comics next.
I would love to. Yeah, I've been reading a lot of like a lot of a little bit of everything, really. But yeah, that's all I got. Yeah, I think we've hit everything we wanted to in this episode. So if anybody has any feedback, appreciate your support and watching or listening, because this also uploads on YouTube, so you can check out the podcast there. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a review. And that's it. I appreciate Bailey taking the time out of her night to sit down and record with me. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I would love to continue to talk about Dredson. The Dredson.
Oh, now we need to read Foul Moon.
Yeah, that's the second book. So. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If there's anything in the episode that you guys want to know more about, you can hit me up on social media as well, as far as these books and stuff and some of the things we covered. And if you guys have any topics that you would like to hear us talk about in the future, just let me know. I'm going to try to get a couple of friends on the podcast here over the summer. And like Bailey was talking about, just wanted to do something, you know, a little bit more consistently. I think the summer allows us to have more energy and time to put into something like this. And even if it's just one episode every couple of weeks or whatever, however we get it, we'll make it happen. But appreciate everybody's patience, and I hope you guys enjoyed. So with that being said, we will talk to you guys in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Wonder Soul. Connect with the podcast through social media. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Search Wonder Soul. If you enjoyed this episode, please share, rate, and review. You can find us on YouTube and Twitch. We appreciate your support. Wonder Soul hopes you have yourself a good day.